Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. 68 teams started the tournament. Only the best have survived. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Pick any college basketball team that's still in the hunt for your shot at winning $100, and all it takes is a $1 bet and that team winning their next game. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the team of your choice pulls off the win. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Penn State football beat writer Greg Pickle. Greg, how are you doing in the NCAA tournament?
Not so well, Jim. Not so well. Some of these upsets, I give all the credit in the world to the people who were able to pick some of these teams to win. I know it's been a weird season, and that maybe the regular season was not as indicative of team strength because of it, or team weaknesses for that matter. But man, it has been tough. There is no doubt about that.
I found more success this year. Instead of being in a pool, I'm betting games individually, so I could use the point spread. Been betting some underdogs, which has really worked well for me. So I'm ahead right now, so I'm considering it a win. But let's get back to Penn State football, Greg. This quarter, what I want to talk about, we're a few weeks now into spring practice. And let's just start with the general question. What have we learned about this team so far?
Yeah, I mean, not a whole heck of a lot, quite frankly. When you look at all the interviews that have come out of spring practice and everything like that, we've talked to, let's see, 4, 5, 6, like 7 or 8 players so far, in addition to running backs coach Jayron Sider's been available, James Franklin's been available, and Terry Smith talked recently, and Taylor Stubblefield's going to talk this week. So we're learning a little bit about these guys, but much like last year, Jim, it's hard to know exactly what's going on because you're not there. Obviously practices, they used to have one open, and we didn't see a ton when we were there, but we saw more than what we've seen the last year and change because of the pandemic. So it's tough. People say, well, how does Sean Clifford look? Don't know. How does Noah Cain look? Don't know. I mean, we can take what we're told from the coaches, but as everyone knows, even if someone's having a bad day, more often than not, the guys are not going to come out and say, yeah, I was terrible today. And certainly you're never going to hear the coaches do that. So, I mean, it's a little bit tough to put your finger on kind of a lot of this improvement that we're hearing about. And I think we have to be careful and keep that in mind when we're talking about projecting the 2021 season, Jim, because I'll be real honest with you. We kind of went through this same song and dance once the interview started up again last year, which was toward this, Penn State was tremendous about making guys and coaches available during the pandemic. But, we heard this kind of constant beat of things were going okay over Zoom and the offense was getting installed and all this kind of stuff that painted, I guess, a rosier picture than what was really going on behind the scenes. And that's why I think so many were caught off guard by the 0-5 start, because it was a lot messier than we had been led to believe. So, I think that's important to keep in mind. But, I mean, so far, so good. We haven't heard any real negative news to this point. But I think you also have to temper some of the positive stuff as well.
Well, I think when you're going through a spring practice, the first thing you don't want to hear about are injuries, and we haven't heard any of that. Again, not sure we would if that happened, but first, do no harm. Hopefully there's no injuries. But you mentioned last year we were hearing things were going well. Of course, that's what they're always going to say. But also a year ago, it was stop me if you heard this story before. A new offensive coordinator has come in. He's changing everything. It's so fantastic. He's doing great. We can't wait to start with the new offensive coordinator. That was a year ago with Kirk Ciarca.
Yeah.
This year, we're hearing similar kind of things about Mike Yurcich. Any difference between the 2 years and the new offensive coordinators?
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, the biggest one, Jim, is that we all kind of, no one wanted to say it out loud last year, but I think we all kind of, looking back on it, realized that what Kirk Ciarca wanted to do and what James Franklin has typically done did not match at all. And so, you know, I think that clearly that was a mistake James Franklin made. He became, well, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he became enamored by that one game. And obviously, Kirk's done some nice things over the years, and they tried to get Mike Yurcich, I think, and they couldn't do it. So Kirk was the guy that they went with. And I mean, look, he seemed like a really nice guy and all that, but he did not run the kind of style that James Franklin wouldn't run. So, you know, I agree with you, though. I think there's going to be some, I think the way to put it, Jim, is unfair skepticism that Mike Yurcich can really do what everyone claims he can do, or if they're doing in practice what everyone says they're doing in practice, because you're right. There was a lot of this same talk last year, and it did not turn out really the way anyone thought it would whatsoever. And as the season went on, we kind of saw why. The offense just wasn't very multiple, wasn't very unique at times. It felt boring in some instances, and it was not really imaginative. It had little creativity. And I think there's reason to think that Mike Yurcich is going to come in here with those same problems. But you're right, at the same time, I mean, Ricky Ronnie, I thought, did his best, but, you know, there were times when his offense didn't make a lot of sense and didn't look like, you know, and the problem, of course, is that we have been comparing these guys all to Joe Moorhead since he left here, and that's fairly or unfairly because his offenses were awesome, but he also had Mike Gesicki and Deshaun Hamilton and Saquon Barkley and you know, some really superbly talented players that... I'm not saying Penn State doesn't have any of those guys, but they don't have all of those guys, and certainly they have not had the same kind of success under center since Trace McSorley left. So, you know, it will be interesting to see how this all plays out once the season gets here because, you know, again, we're not going to see much, if any, of this offense until that point in time.
Greg, the position that I'm particularly curious about on offense is running back. With the transfer coming in, Lovett from Baylor, and Noah Cain hopefully coming back from injury, you essentially have five guys there vying for carries. How do you divvy them up in the spring? How does this work? Because I would think you would want a pecking order by the time spring practice ends.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, you know, then that's going to be the fascinating thing for, excuse me, Jim, for Jawan Slater and Mike Yurcich to figure out is that, you know, I don't know how healthy Noah Cain is. They made the comment a couple weeks ago that they would hope to maybe get something out of him by the time the second half of spring practice gets here. I don't know if I see that being the case in all likelihood. I mean, if he does get work, I think it's going to be extremely limited. So, you know, I do think there's a chance here for John Lovett to take over. We haven't heard much about Devin Ford, but I think he'll have a role, and maybe he'll take the step forward that we all thought he would last year this year. When it comes to Kevon Lee and Keziah Holmes, those guys did some darn nice things in some real tough situations last year, but I think you would like to get them back to more of a complementary role and certainly not taking on the full brunt of starting and being the top guys like they were forced into last year. So, to me, it's going to be, I think, Lovett and Cain to start, and then everybody else kind of mixing in accordingly. But, you know, again, we don't have a chance to see where those guys are stacked up in practice. And look, when you watch spring practice, the open spring practice, you know, you see guys getting moved around, and you might see a starter work with the threes and a three works with the starters, just kind of things that you know, kind of different things that get guys in different positions and see how they perform and all that. But, you know, I do think it's worth noting that, you know, again, without seeing what is going on behind the scenes, it's just hard to say what the rotation is, what the rhythm is, etc. But I do think, you know, I do think that John Lovett might lead his way, you know, come out of spring practice as the lead dog, and then Noah Kane obviously will start working his way back in as he, you know, is healthy enough to do so.
Yeah, the concern is going to be at the bottom half of that pecking order. Who's number three, who's number four, and who's number five?
Right.
And if they put, why do I suspect, you know, in that end of spring depth chart, we're going to see a lot of ors.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be this guy or this guy or this guy, and not a 3-4-5. One other position that I'm curious about, Greg, and we talked a little bit about safety in quarter number one and the idea of bringing in a transfer, that second safety position next to Jaquan Brisker is apparently open, although they're talking highly about Jair Brown. There's been conjecture, and we've been part of that conjecture. There's a lot of quantity in the cornerback room. So some of the conjecture is, how about moving a cornerback to safety? Have you heard anything about that? Are they experimenting at all in spring practice? What do we know about that?
Yeah, I don't think so yet. Now, would it surprise me if maybe one practice they moved a guy over there to get a different look at things? No, that wouldn't shock me even a little bit. But, you know, it doesn't seem to me like they're really, you know, that they're really pushing hard to do that. I think it's because they want to see what they have there. You know, Jair Brown's a guy that has received a ton of praise recently. And, you know, I think that he's a guy that if he is really playing up to the level they claim he is, and I know they said he had two interceptions, and it was funny because they were making, you know, not too long ago, Jim, they were saying that, oh, man, you wouldn't believe this Jair Brown in the spring he's having and all the turnovers and everything. And it's like, well, someone, his teammates throwing him those turnovers. So which quarterback is the one at fault, I guess, is the question I always have in those conversations. And, of course, you'll never find out. But, yeah, I mean, sounds to me like at this point they feel pretty good about the fact that with Johnny Dixon coming in, Tariq Castro Fields back, you know, they have good numbers there at the corner position for the first time in some time. But, you know, I do think that we could see someone move the safety after spring practice if Penn State's coaching staff, and obviously Anthony Poindexter and Brent Pry will have to sit down and figure this out. But if they didn't see enough improvement from two or three of those guys, thinking like Tyler Rudolph, Enzo Jennings, Jonathan Sutherland, Jair Brown, then maybe Penn State does have to go back to the drawing board there. But if they see things they like, then I think they will probably keep things the way they are.
Thanks very much on that, Greg. That is it for quarter number two. Stay tuned. In quarter number three, we're going to get to your questions, and we're going to ask Greg. Stick with us.
68 teams started, and only the best have survived. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.